Let's read together Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 59. Now, in this portion of Luke chapter 12, the Lord stresses the importance of being ready for his return, and also the fact that until his return, people will be divided because of him. Let's read verses 35 through 40. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 12 with some background notes. In the previous section of this chapter, the Lord emphasized that his disciples should lay up for themselves treasure in heaven and not on this earth, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Now in these verses that we just read, the Lord stressed the importance of being ready for his return by watching and waiting for him, because he could return at any time. The Lord used the illustration of a first century wedding to emphasize his point of being ready. After the wedding feast, the groom would return home with his bride, and he expected his servants to be watching and waiting for him, even if he didn't arrive until late at night or in the wee hours of the morning. Now, it's important to realize here that this parable is not introduced as a parable of the kingdom. The intended meaning is not to teach the details of eschatology, although some details may be included. For example, there's no need necessarily to make the wedding feast in the parable represent either the marriage supper of the Lamb or the messianic banquet when the Lord returns and sets up his earthly millennial kingdom. And to read the rapture into this parable may be more than the Lord intended, because this would limit the exhortation to be ready to the tribulation saints of the future, who would be the servants in the parable. It's better to see that the Lord's main point in the parable is for all believers, both now and during the tribulation period, to be watching, waiting, and ready for his return. His return will be sudden and unexpected, like a groom returning home with his bride after a wedding, or like a thief not announcing his coming. Verse 39. This certainly applies to both the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord to this earth to set up his kingdom. The wonderful news here is not only that the Lord will return, but that there is a special blessing for those who are watching and waiting expectantly for the Lord's return. The Lord himself will serve these faithful servants. What an unexpected blessing. Now let me ask you, will you receive this blessing? Are you watching and waiting with your light shining? Good question for all of us, isn't it? Let's move now to our doctrinal points, which will come from the rest of the chapter. Doctrinal point number one, there will be differences of punishment in hell. There will be differences of punishment in hell. Verses 41 through 48. Luke chapter 12, beginning now at verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. What was the Lord's answer to Peter's question in verse 41? Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? The Lord's answer was essentially that he was speaking to all folks who considered themselves as followers and servants of the Lord. And that certainly includes us. We see that faithful and sensible servants will be rewarded and given responsibilities in the future. These will be responsibilities in the millennial kingdom that our Lord will set up here on this earth when he returns. But we also see that there are professing servants who are unfaithful and by their actions prove that they are unbelievers. They will be consigned to a place with the rest of the unbelievers, namely hell. Now we know from Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, that there is eternal punishment in hell. I'm reading Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So we know from Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, that there is eternal punishment in hell. But we see here in verses 47 and 48, here in Luke chapter 12, that there will be differences of punishment in hell. Some will receive many lashes, and some will receive few. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. Just as there will be differences of reward in heaven, so there will be differences of punishment in hell. We also see that the basis for punishment will be how much knowledge and light a person had. To whom much has been given, much is required. There will be differences of punishment in hell. Doctrinal point number two. There are divisions of families on earth. There are divisions of families on earth. Verses 49 through 53. Luke chapter 12, beginning now at verse 49. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In verse 49, the Lord referred to the fire of judgment that would take place when he returned. But before that judgment could take place, verse 50, the Lord himself would undergo a baptism of judgment at the cross, the judgment of God against our sins. As a result of our Lord's first coming, there would come about divisions. Not only as to Christianity being unique and distinct from other world religions, but divisions right down to the family level. How true this prophecy has proved to be. Because of the coming of Christ, because of the coming of Christianity, there are many cases of Christian children being disowned by non-Christian parents, as well as Christian parents being disowned by non-Christian children. Because of Christ, there are divisions of families on earth. Now, what about practical application from this portion of Luke chapter 12? Practical application number one, get right with God before it is too late. Get right with God before it is too late. verses 54 through 59. Then he also said to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, 'A shower is coming.' And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'There will be hot weather.' And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there until you have paid the very last mite." We see in verse 54 that the Lord is now addressing the whole crowd, which would be composed mostly of unbelievers. He called them hypocrites because, on the one hand, they accepted the evidence from nature concerning weather, but on the other hand, they were not accepting the overwhelming evidence that he was the Messiah. What more evidence did they want? Illustration. It's like unbelievers today who would be convinced of extraterrestrial intelligence by a few non-random signals from outer space, and yet at the same time, they deny the overwhelming evidence for intelligent design in the DNA code, for example. The Lord would refer to this as hypocrisy, which it is. The Lord moved on in verses 57 through 59 to tell the crowds that in view of the evidence, they should get right with God before it was too late, and there would be no second chance. God is not only a God of love, but he is a God of justice, and he must deal with the sin of unbelief. He is the ultimate magistrate and judge and police officer. Verse 58. There is no escaping God's judgment apart from Christ. Get right with God before it is too late. Practical application number two. Don't use Luke 12:59 as a proof text for purgatory. Don't use Luke 12, verse 59, as a proof text for purgatory. Verse 59, once again. "I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite." Some folks have tried to use this verse, verse 59, as support for the doctrine of purgatory, a purging place after life. No, the Bible does not teach the doctrine of purgatory. The place here in verse 59 is not some purgatory, but hell, the same as in verse 46, the place for the final consignment of unbelievers. The point of our Lord here in Luke 12:59 is that there is no escape from hell, because no one would ever be able to pay the penalty for every sin that they ever committed. The only escape from eternal hell is to get right with God now by accepting the gift of salvation in Christ. He died to pay every last cent of the penalty of our sins. Don't use Luke chapter 12, verse 59 as a proof text for purgatory.